was telling me to do. So.
I have 9:14.
Okay.
You have 9:15.
Oh, 02, Chayvus Halvavus, Shabbat Tochen. Okay. I would ask of everyone, you know, we're learning things, and book learning is not, is only book learning, safer learning, safer learning. If I may be so bold as to suggest, you know, as you go through your day and we learn things, it's good to think about them, to think of examples. Maybe I'm not saying enough examples in everyday life or stories, but you really, they're universal themes, and I'm sure you can think yourselves of things that come up. I'm sure they come up a multitude of times on a daily basis. And if you recognize it and you say, hey, you know, that's something we've talked about, that would be the main benefit, obviously, of what we're learning. Okay, so we're learning about the benefits of bitachon. So benefit number one was that Hashem, the benefits, that's the hakdama. The hakdama is to talk you into it and to advertise bitachon, and he gives you the benefits of bitachon. So number one benefit is that Hashem responds, and we explained last week the concept that some understand that to be the essence of bitachon, but the Chavis HaLovis does not understand it that way. It's a benefit of bitachon. If you have proper bitachon, if you work on your bitachon, the perfect bitachon is, you know, is something we strive for and can take a lifetime to reach. But you have to make a choice. Who are you relying on? If you rely on other forces, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may just well say, okay. But if you rely on Hashem, he responds. That's benefit number one. Benefit number two, and we tried to give the marshal with the guy with the car service, Tzuri v'lo avlosa bo. That would be the dynamic. Mogen hu l'chol acholsen bo. Ashrei odom, right? B'cho botcho v'seinu botcho v'atafalotemo. Trust in Hashem, he responds. That's the first benefit. The benefit number two is that you won't kowtow, you won't give in to evil. That you'll be an independent person, you'll feel free, and you won't be concerned, you won't be scared. And this has two ramifications. One ramification is that you'll speak up, and this is considered the second benefit, that you'll speak up if something's wrong, you won't hide, you won't be afraid to speak up. You'll speak up against things that are not correct. You'll give tochacha. Of course, to give tochacha to an individual, you have to know how. There's no, even though the Chavis HaLovis used a funny lashon that almost as if to say that you won't care if you embarrass someone, and certainly we know that the mitzvah of tochacha is given hand in hand with the iser to embarrass somebody. So you have to know how to give tochacha. You have to give tochacha out of love, out of concern. The person has to feel that you care about him or her. The Chavis HaLovis says in another part of the Sefer that I'm learning Thursday night with the men, he says, tochacha, how can anybody give tochacha? You're not superior to that person. You don't know what's going on in his mind, in his heart. You don't know what nisyonos he faces. How can you ever give tochacha? And he says a beautiful point. He says, it really should be required reading for every parent, for every mechanech, for every educator, for every relationship. He says, we look at people with, we look at people with chitzoniyustika eyes. We see someone that dresses a certain way or that acts a certain way even, and we think, he says, you don't know what's going on in their heart. They might be loyal to Hashem. They may have avos Hashem. Their hearts might be overflowing with emuna and bitachon. You don't read minds. Oh, they're not acting correctly, he says. They don't know. You have to educate them. That's how you should look at any tochacha. You're not better than anyone because you don't know what's doing in their hearts. They may be mechalei Shabbos, but Hashem created the world in 6 days, and Shabbos Hashem created the world. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. He was never taught. Or he doesn't realize how important it is. Meanwhile, you think of yourself as a Shomer Shabbos. And you eat the meal. You go to sleep after the chant. You sleep. what's, Shabbos doesn't mean anything to you. Maybe that person's much more of a real Shomer Shabbos than you are. That is to say, he has to be, he or she have to be taught and educated. Chazal describes Tochacha in that other part of the Sefer as an educational, merely educational. You're not judgmental. You're not superior. You can't, you cannot never be judgmental on another person, he says, because you don't know what's going on in their hearts. You can only be educational. Think of Tochacha as the person doesn't know, doesn't realize, was never taught, is not fully aware of how they look, or how they should look, or how they should dress, or how they should act. They don't know. So you educate them, and you come with love and with concern that they're such good people, but they don't know what to do. That's why you have to give Tochacha. So when he says here, don't care if you embarrass someone, what's his lashon? Kufchav gimel kufchav dalet. He says you'll feel free. Im yachlimeim lo yevosh bohem. So I don't know. It means you won't. I'll interpret it to mean that you'll give tochacha and you won't like be worried. Oh, maybe he'll feel embarrassed. It doesn't mean to embarrass him publicly. Chas v'shalom. That's an isser. You're not allowed to. It means many times we think, let's say a person has a boss, and the boss, someone asked me a shayla this week, they have internet mices with the web, and their boss wants them to download, you know, copyrighted software, and wants them to do it. I say, you're not allowed to. By the way, if a shayla comes up, ask me. Sometimes you are allowed to. I'm not Pascaling now. Just this particular case, it was what we try to avoid the word gzela, but it's gzela, yeah. Gneva, not gzela. It's actually technically gneva, not gzela. So he says, but his boss, I said, you have to tell the boss is from Jew. I said, you have to tell him it's osser. No, he doesn't know. Tell him it's osser. I'll embarrass him. You know, sometimes we refrain from giving tochacha because we feel the person will be embarrassed. It doesn't mean publicly, chas v'shalom. Even privately, he'll be embarrassed and he'll lash out because he'll go into defensive mode. That's what the Chavis HaVavis is talking about. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid he'll get mad at you. Don't be afraid. If a person has bitachon, they're not afraid to give tochacha. They're not afraid to speak up. They're not afraid of looking foolish even. They have bitachon. Hashem is going to take care of them. So if they look foolish, what's wrong? And if everybody turns around and makes fun of you because you're acting frum, can't you be, you don't care. You have to be talking that Hashem's going to take care of you. You're calm. So that's one ramification of that independent feeling, that you're an independent person. You're not dependent on others if you have bitachon. And the second ramification is you get caught up in evil yourself many times. Not just a question of tochacha, but, you know, like I said, the boss asks you to do something, or your friend asks you to do something, and it's not 100% kosher, or lashon hara. It happens all the time, and you don't want to lose a friend. Like, you're aware that with this person, but you don't want to lose a friend. But independence. Okay, Halvodus brings down now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it a big mila when a person has this feeling of being independent, not being dependent on others for validation, you always have to be considerate of other people's feelings. Those are mitzvahs in the Torah. That's, we're not negating those mitzvahs, chas v'shalom, but you don't need their validation. You don't need their approval for your validation. That's what bitachon does for you. It lifts you up. And I want to add to what the Chavis HaVavis says in this paragraph, that once you develop that feeling of independence, it really frees you to go do things and accomplish things, because you're not so hesitant anymore. But I need this person to approve, and what will this person think? And you break out of that whole thing, and all of a sudden it's just like you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and say, hey, this has to be done. I'm going to go do it. So you, and Hashem likes independent people. That's why the Chaim Zalbovos at the end of this paragraph quotes all of these psukim. He quotes 4 or 5 psukim that tells the Navi not to be afraid. Now, when the Chaim Zalbovos is quoting all these psukim, you might say, well, if I take the Navi in context of the Navi Dafka, the Navi was afraid Klal Yisrael would kill them. I don't know, they're standing up and they're talking to Bnei Yisrael about doing Avodah Zorah and about not giving enough tzedakah and about Binod HaMachadera, all the things that the Nevi'im talked about, and they're too into the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that they put all their efforts into ritual. And where is the Asos Tzedakah Mishpat Vatznei Alechesim Alokecha, and the Nevi'im saw that, you know, they talked very harshly to Klal Yisrael, extremely harshly. By the way, that Chavis Halvavis that I told you a few minutes ago said that only the Nevi'im had a right to talk harshly to Klal Yisrael, because Hashem knows what's in a person's heart. So although you could never talk harshly to a person and be judgmental, the Nevi'im did. And don't look at the Navi and say, well, he spoke harshly to Klal Yisrael, and he was judgmental. He says, no. That's because Hashem told the Navi what was in their hearts. Hashem knows what's in the hearts. So then you can be judgmental. If Hashem tells you this person is a rotten person, that there's something rotten inside of him or her, so then you know it because Hashem told you. Then you can be judgmental. But otherwise, if Hashem doesn't give you a private line to a person's thoughts, you should never be judgmental. You don't know what's going on in a person. You don't know what nisyonos they had. You don't know their background. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know. Chaim Zalbovos is very. That Chaim Zalbovos, I told the shul, I told the men. I'm sorry. I told the men. You're the shul, they're the men. Okay. I told them that it has to be required reading for every person. Anyway, so that's what he says. So the Navi talked very harshly to Klal Yisrael. So Hashem always said, don't be afraid. It wasn't just don't be afraid that you'll get killed. Otherwise, the Chavis Halvavos wouldn't bring it down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 psukim in this paragraph where he tells you not to be afraid of your boss and not to be ashamed of your friend and etc., etc. Not to be afraid that your children won't get into a certain school if you don't act a certain way. That's the second benefit, is not to kowtow to something that's incorrect or inappropriate or wrong. So don't be afraid. And he brings out all of these psukim. If you look inside at the end of the second paragraph, at the end of the paragraph that it talks about this, I hope everyone's with me, the second benefit. K'maymer HaNovi, it's the last few lines, as the Novi says, V'Hashem Elokim Ya'azor Li, Alkein Lo Nechlomti, I'm not embarrassed. Alkein Samti Ponai Kachalomish, I'm like a rock. V'Eda Ki Lo Evosh, I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to stand up and say it. Of course, again, you're not allowed to embarrass people, but it means, it's not talking about such circumstances where indeed you have to be careful of what you say, al pi Torah. You're not allowed to make someone feel bad, certainly not berabim, and so on and so forth. The Omar and the Navi says, al tira mehem, and al tira, don't be afraid of them. Umi divreham al tira, don't be afraid of the words they'll hurl at you. They'll call you a fremak, they'll call you this, they'll call you that, they'll say you're old fashioned, they'll say you don't understand. Don't be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu values courage. He values independence. He values people who just don't go along with the crowd at the expense of their own values and their own understandings, of what's right and wrong. The Omar midivrehem al tira, don't be afraid of their words. Umipnehem al techos, maybe he's stressing also the fact, obviously, it's not just that they shouldn't get killed, because it's midivrehem al tira. Don't be afraid of their words, at the names they'll call you, what they'll think of you, who knows what it could do for, you know, we have neighbors, we have schools, we have shidduchim, everybody's always worried. You look, everybody's scared. You look around in the world, people are scared to speak up, people are scared, what's this one going to think of me? Word will get back to that, and then who knows what they'll say. Don't be afraid. That's what bitachon does for you. You're not afraid. It means in a good cause, he's saying. You're not afraid of evil. You're not afraid of what, of violating your value system. For Omar, Pozik and Yirmiya, Altiro Mipneihem. Don't be afraid of them. For Omar, Kishomir Chazak Mitzor, like the Shomir worm that's stronger than a rock. It looks weaker than the rock, right? This is the famous legendary Shomir that Shlomo HaMelech used to cut the stones for the Beis Mikdash. So that's how you have to feel. You're facing a rock, and you're like a little worm, but you're the Shomir. A Shomir can be stronger than a rock. Nasati Mitzchacha. I made your forehead. In Navi, the forehead is I don't know if it's a metaphor or it's the way the Navi describes stubbornness. And even Azus Ponim, which is not a good midah, but against evildoers it is. I'll tell you, wait one second. Los Tira also, los Sechas mitneim. Can I trouble you, please, for Mishnah Brura, Chelak Aleph, Chelak Rishon? No. There should be 6 volumes, and we need Aleph. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're talking about this Azus, and this is a benefit of Bitachon. So it says in the beginning. Where is he? You shouldn't be embarrassed from people who make fun of you. This is the first Siman Shulchan Aruch. Lo yizbayish, you shouldn't be ashamed that nei bnei Odom who will make fun of you in avodas Hashem. So the Mishnah Brura says, okay, this is technical stuff, but it's worthwhile to hear. The Brura says, don't be embarrassed, but you shouldn't develop the mid of azus, brazenness. You know, don't fight with them. Walk away and do your thing. Don't fight with them. Because the midah of Azus, very bad midah, terrible midah, and it's not good to become an Azponim, a brazen person, because then you'll become brazen in Shaloba Vodas Hashem. And that's certainly not good. So when you have this situation, don't be ashamed, but walk away. Don't come. Don't confront. Now, we know that it's sometimes, it says, have they az kanemer, right? That's one of the things. Rosh katzvi gibu kari, az kanemer, v'kal kanesher. So, you do have to be az sometimes. So when, yes, if not here. So very technically, dir halacha, which is in Shabbos, where he elaborates on halachas, he says, this that I just said is only when you're doing a mitzvah for yourself. You're doing a mitzvah, you're a private person doing a mitzvah, and people are making fun of you. It doesn't mean just making fun. There are many ways we could be, I ask you to think of examples as you go through your day. There's many ways we could be ashamed to do the right thing, even if people are not overtly mocking us. But that's just the most extreme case where people are mocking you. So you have to not care, and if you learn this halacha, by the way, this is the Chaimus HaMalavus that we're learning, that this is a benefit Bitachon gives you, that you will be able to fulfill this halacha of not to be ashamed of people making fun of you, because when they can't do anything to you. When they don't make fun of you, Hashem is with you, Hashem is going to provide you with what you need, so when you have Bitachon, you can do this. Now, I just want to speak out that Chaimus HaMalavus talks even stronger. But the Mishnah Berurah says, don't be an Azponim. Just walk away. But then the Bir Halacha says, that's only a question of your private mitzvah. So don't fight with them. Just walk away and do your own thing. But if there are people who are influencing others, you have no right to walk away and just do your own thing, because you have to stand up to that person. And that's where it says, Aviyaz Kanemer. That's what the Bir Halacha explains. Although in the Mishnah Berurah he writes, just don't be ashamed, but don't develop the Midah of Azus, which is a terrible Midah. So in the Bir Halacha it says, you don't have that luxury where there are people who are influencing others, and they are having they're a bad influence. So then you have to stand up, and you have to say no. This is, you even have to fight with them. You have to be strong, and that's where it says Aviyaz Kanomir, when you're facing such a situation. So when the Bir Halacha, when the Chavis Halvados here talks very strongly that you should don't be afraid and be strong and be a Shomir Chazak Mitzor Nosati Mitzchecha. That's what made me realize. You say Nosati Mitzchecha is really a metaphor for Azus. That's evildoers that are affecting others. So you don't have the luxury, and you have to do it with Bitachon. And then you have the other Abba, Havi Az Kanamir. Okay, we'll move on to benefit number three. Benefit number three. You see, a child, has a friend that's not a good influence on him. If you feel bad, we all have this. And I get such, think of life examples. He's my son's friend. He's my daughter's friend. That's bitachon. You gotta have bitachon. They'll get another friend. They'll develop. Maybe you have to listen to Pirkei Avos and Kinei L'Chachaver. You'll have to spend a little money, make a good Shabbos party in your house, and invite the class over. They'll develop other friends. This is all part of what he's talking about. You can't let inappropriate situations continue because you're afraid. That's bitachon. Don't be afraid. Okay. The third benefit is Shehaboteach al Hashem Yvieu Bitchono Lefanos Machshevoso Meyinyone Ha'olam Ulatair Asnafsho B'maisei Hamishmas. Benefit number one is Hashem will respond to your bitachon. I'm sorry, I'm going to do this a lot. You'll have to communicate with me privately if it's getting very tedious and you don't like it. Benefit number one, because this is how the Chavis Halvados works. He's very methodical, and he's always making lists and he's counting out things, and it's good. You walk around your day, you could review, because he's always very numbers oriented. So benefit number one is Hashem will respond in kind to your bitachon. Benefit number two is you develop freedom and independence of people. You're not afraid of people, you're not ashamed. You're going to do the right thing. Benefit number three, he says, is that you're free to focus on Olam Haba, on being a servant of Hashem. Because what are people weighed down with? They're weighed down with Olam Hazeh. They're weighed down with temporal things. Now, why are they weighed down with temporal things? So, this is already, I'm hearing this to the Chavis Halvados. Sometimes it's taiva. It's true. Sometimes we're caught up in Olam Hazeh because we have taiva. That's not what the Chavis Halvados is addressing now. He's addressing that either most or much of being caught up in Olam Hazeh is because we're afraid. We want security. We want financial security. We're afraid. We want financial security. We want to be make sure that we are not left in the lurch. And this really, it envelops our lives. We don't even realize how much of our lives are caught up in temporal Olam Hazeh things because of this gnawing fear that what's going to be. And this affects our choice of schools. It affects our own lives. It affects how much time we spend on different things. We're afraid. We're afraid of being left in the lurch financially. That we're not gonna be able to afford X, Y, Z. He's not talking about when it's taiva. That's a different battle. That's not a battle of bitachon. That's a different battle. But the third benefit is that you're free to concentrate on being an Eved Hashem and doing Hashem's will, because you're not weighed down with always with concern and worry of financial security. Umeham, and another benefit number three, Shaboteach al Hashem, Yiviyehu Bitchono, Lefanos Machshevosov, to clear his mind and his thoughts, Meinyoni Ha'olam, not to be always focused on Olam Hazeh, Uletahiras Nafsho, to purify his soul, B'maaseh HaMishmas, by doing Hashem's will. Now Hashem's will is not always, Hashem's will is whatever Hashem's will is that we should be doing at this particular point in time. So the Chavis Halvavis will see, as we learn Shara Bitochem, Chavis Halvavis believes in going to work. And I don't want to hear a sigh of relief. But you could have a sigh of relief when I'm not listening, because he does. But that's Hashem's will. That's how you have to think of it. And once you think of it that way, your whole life will be transformed. First of all, because 24 hours a day you'll be an Eved Hashem, you're doing Hashem's will. All you have to do is focus on that. For men, it's when they go to work. For women, it's when they're doing laundry and cooking. You're doing Hashem's will. You're an Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. There's no higher level than that. You just have to focus on that and think that way. And once you think that way, your whole life will change. But the point I'm making here in the Chavis Halbavis is he's not trying to, but you won't be scared. You won't be nervous. I have people, it happens all the time. People do things that they should not be doing. People start working, I'm talking now about men, they start working late, going in early, this Seder of learning. With women, it's things that are done, you know, again, for financial security, to feel secure. She says, you're free. You're free from that. And you're able to focus on doing Hashem's will. When you have bitachon, because Hashem's going to take care of you. That's all. It's as simple as that. Hashem will take care. If you do what you're supposed to do, so Hashem will take care of you. See, all of a sudden it's like a Hashleich al Hashem Yehovcha, right? That's the most famous pasuk about bitachon. You have a 50-ton weight lifted off your shoulders in 1 second. It's not 1 second. It's a lifetime of work. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. But if you think of it that way, then all of a sudden you unload yourself. You're not worried anymore. How am I going to marry off my children? Oh my goodness. So it's a worry. And again, the Chavis Halbavis says Hashem's will is that you go to work and earn money. This is what Hashem wants you to do. But you have to know where it's coming from, and therefore you're not worried. You're not always worried, because I'm speaking already at the beginning of our avoda, where we're always worried and we're always concerned, and that's. And we're obsessed with it. People are obsessed with security.
What about the person that they can't pay for whatever they need?
If a person is poor?
Yeah.
So what is your question?
So, but they have a tachon Hashem, but yet they still can't make a wedding money or whatever.
You're talking to the person who's in the situation where he needs $20,000 or he needs $30,000? So he's poor. That's like the person that takes the bus and doesn't get the Yerushalayim. There's poverty in the world, yes. There's poverty in the world, and there is sickness in the world, and there are tragedies in the world. People develop illnesses, unfortunately. People are poor. When that's the situation, it has to be dealt with. we're talking. If someone would ask me, should I put, as Chazal of others, we'll be talking about this, by the way, but I'll, if someone would say, should I start working now, and maybe I'll work an extra half hour a day, and I'll start putting aside money for my, to marry off my daughter, which needs $100,000. I'm just picking a number. So I would say, yes, of course you should. If the normal life says that you indeed, let's assume for a moment that the normal, that the norm is that you need $100,000 to marry off a child. So say, of course, you should start now saving, I don't know, $10,000 a year. If, you know, in 10 years you have to make a wedding. I'm saying there's nothing wrong with long range planning if that's the norm. If that's the norm. It's not always the norm. Sometimes we have a fear. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. And it's not true. People got married without that. It's not necessarily the norm. So we're really talking about, or people end up, they don't enslave their whole lives because they must come up with that or else. Those are the different levels of bitachon that we'll be learning about. The Chavis of others will talk about long-range planning and planning for retirement. That will be an issue in Shara Bitachon. We'll be learning about that. He addresses that very directly. Right now, we're talking in very, very broad terms, whether you're focused on Olam Hazeh or focused on being an Eved Hashem. Benefit number three of Bitachon is that it frees you from this constant involvement, from this constant focus of Olam Hazeh, which is mostly caused, he's saying here, by financial worries, and it frees you to focus on being an Eved Hashem, doing the will of Hashem. Yeah.
Childish or something, but like maybe in that situation where the person says, should I work an extra half hour so that I could save my daughter's wedding, maybe you would have been learning that half hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like you said, definitely.
Every case is different. I shouldn't have talked about such a specific case. I really meant to say that the Chavis of Olos is not against long-range planning if that's the norm. If you know that in a month you're going to need $1,000, or you know that in a year you'll need $2,000, or you know that in 10 years you will indeed need $10,000, then, yeah, you have to start saving now. It's not going to appear by miracle at the end of 10 years, $10,000. But there's a lot of conditions that have to be met before you mortgage your life away. You have to know that indeed you're going to need it. Like, vadai, you'll need it. And without, and it's the norm, and therefore it's the norm like working to put bread on the table. That's also a norm, right? The only heter to do that is because that's the norm. And bread will not magically appear on your table if you don't work and earn. So if you need a car, if you need a car, a loaf of bread cost 10 shekel. A car costs considerably more. So if you need a car, just like bread's not going to pop up on the table by magic, a car's not going to pop up by magic in your driveway. So you have to do the norm in order to be able to buy a car, if you indeed need it. That's all I meant to say. But it frees you from being obsessively focused on your financial wherewithal.
Is it wrong to say, whatever happens will happen, I can't?
You could say that. I don't consider that to be, that to my mind, that's not bitachon. That's a different midah. That's a different midah. It's a good midah. You could have that midah.
You put in your shtablos, then you say,
if you put in your shtablos, then it becomes an issue of bitachon. Definitely.
You put in your shtablos, you say, Hashem sends me from this.
That's bitachon. If you put in your shtablos meaning the norm, whatever the norm happens to be. So if you put in your shtablos and you say, whatever happens, happens, that's fine. The mistake people make most of the time is that because they're really afraid. If they would go on a psychiatrist's couch, they would say they really don't have, they would see inside that they really don't have bitachon. And they make things the norm that are not at all the norm. People are getting married every day. hundreds of people without the $100,000. They are. It's my whole, you know, people are getting married without it, and people are surviving without X, Y, Z. So that's, we have to be honest with ourselves. What's truly the norm? What's truly hechrech? What's truly hishtadlus? You know, sometimes I'm getting ahead of myself. We think of hishtadlus sometimes. Hashem allows us to give him a helping hand. No, we're not giving Hashem a helping hand. That's not what hishtadlus means. Hishtadlus, it's not even a good word, hishtadlus. No, Rebbe Lubavitch doesn't use that word. We're used to the word hishtadlus, which means to try. I mean, Hashem wants us like to help him along. Hashem doesn't need our help. But whatever word you use, Hashem wants us to go through the motions. That's what Rebbe Lubavitch wants to impress upon us. He wants us, and he explains why. Why does Hashem want us to go through the motions if it's not really what's earning us the money? It's not really what's putting bread on the table. It's not really what's accomplishing it. It's all Hashem. He just, and it's so hard to live with this, because he turns to me and says, you mean to tell me that if I stay home from work, there's going to be the same amount of money in the bank at the end of the week? And the answer is, there may not be, because Hashem wants you to go through the motions. But you really have to work, and it's a lifetime of work, to realize that there's no direct correlation between your going to work and there being bread on the table. It's only an indirect correlation. Hashem is giving you the bread on the table. He wants you to go. Now, the motions may be, one of the reasons the motions is necessary is because he wants this nisayon in life. Because life in Olam Hazeh consists of realizing that Hashem exists. And the whole Olam Hazeh, I'm sure you're familiar with the word Olam, comes from the word Helam. It's hidden. And there's no Hashem. You see, there's a chair here. Hashem. But this chair is only here because Hashem wills it to be here. But we don't. Okay, like we say it, but be me and you, the chair's here. Like it ain't going nowhere. But it's not true. And this is a lifetime of work to realize that we're not looking at a chair, we're looking at the will of Hashem, that there be a chair here. And if that will would cease, the chair would just not be here. And it's the same with money and putting bread on the table. But that's a lifetime of work. And the work in Olam Hazeh is to really bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's, I spoke about this Friday night, is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And Bitachon is the most important vehicle where we realize that it's Hashem doing everything, Hashem making everything work, and we're just going through motions. Now, again, like I always say, you know, we're secretly relieved that Hashem wants us to go through the motions, because we really don't believe that it's only going through the motions. But that's what the learning class of Olam hopefully will do for us, that he will impress upon us that we're just going through the motions that Hashem demands and Hashem wants, and he wants it for various reasons. He gives like 3-4 reasons why Hashem wants us to go through the motions. But that's really what it is.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? The one thing I don't understand, you said, how you asked if it's, if you just say to yourself, whatever is for the best, that's what Hashem's going to do, that's not bitachon. Why is that not bitachon?
It's a great midah.
So why is that not bitachon?
Bitachon is realizing that Hashem is the one doing everything. Hashem is getting you to Yerushalayim. Hashem is putting bread on the table.
But
that's what bitachon is.
If you realize that, then you realize that what Hashem can do can be
extremely. If you don't want to be result oriented, if you don't want to take advantage of the first benefit of the Chavos Al Bavos bitachon, you don't want to take advantage of it, which is that bitachon will get you the results. That's fine. That's fine.
Hashem, but I know that sometimes Hashem gets very painful results, and I don't want the painful result. That's what I'm like.
What?
Like you have people who have extreme amounts of bitachon, and they have extreme pain in their life, whether it's financial or emotional or physical illness.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that's what tots are.
You have to be prepared to accept what Hashem does. You have to be prepared, certainly. And you have to be prepared to say Kol Ma Da'avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. If a person will be able to cope with results that seem tragic, that seem bad, if the way they can cope with that is by not expecting the results, okay. Then that's a way of coping. Bitochen means I'm relying on Hashem for everything, and I realize it's Hashem that's doing everything, and it's not my boss, and it's not the car, and it's not me, and it's not my intelligence, and it's not my know-how, and it's not the bank. It's Hashem. That's Bitochen. The Chavos Avodah says the first benefit of having true Bitochen is that it will lead to results. He doesn't promise it will lead to results, but then you're result-oriented. And if you have reliance on the guy that's lending you the money, or on the guy that's paying, signing your paycheck, if that's what you want to have bitachon on, because you always rely on something. So if you focus on that, then Hashem says, okay, let's see what happens. Since there are many tragedies in the world, and a person could even say, I don't really have the bitachon that's going to bring me the results. I am not the person that David HaMelech is talking about when he says, you know, Mogen hu l'chol hachosim bo. I don't have that much bitachon, I'm afraid. Yikes. And therefore I don't even expect good results. And therefore I just, you know, what Hashem, whatever you do is fine, you know. Okay. It's a way of coping.
The amount of effort that's generally used, that people put in, like, there's so many millions of people, that where do you find the norm? Like, there are people in Israel who wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to clean houses, and they just get by with food on the table, and there's people who wake up very nicely at 8 o'clock, they go off to learn at 9, they come home at 1,
I don't want to answer you now, because I can't. Shara HaBitochon will discuss that. How every person finds their level of bitachon. And, you know, every person works and ends up developing their own level. Okay. So, again, the third benefit is that the person is able to focus on being an Eved Hashem, because they're not so caught up in other concerns, in concerns that drag you away from being an Eved Hashem. Vaziyah b'menuchos nafsho, he'll be calm and serene. V'shalvas machshavoso, v'choser da'agoso, they won't be worried. Hashem wants you to be happy. He doesn't want you to be worried. Stop worrying about inyoni olam hazeh. And now, Chavos Avodah says, if you develop bitochen in inyoni olam hazeh, you'll feel more financially secure. You will be more financially secure. And then now he launches into he wants you to imagine a counterfeiter. In his days, it was called an alchemist. They actually believed that people could create gold out of other metals with the right chemicals and everything. And they believed that it could happen. But it was counterfeit gold, right? It wasn't real gold. It was fake gold, so to speak. So now, when the Chavos Avodah lived, they thought it was real. They thought the people could do that. They believed in this alchemy, I think it's called, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. So we were gonna, you know, a counterfeit. He says, imagine you have the ability of a machine in your basement and you can print counterfeit money. And whenever you want to, you go down to the basement and you close the window shades and you tell your wife or you tell your husband, I can't be disturbed for the next 3-4 hours, no phone calls, and you produce a couple of $1,000 on the machine. Imagine you have the ability to do that, and you come back upstairs and everything's fine, and whenever you need money you go back downstairs, and you say nobody could be luckier or happier or more financially secure than this person, right? So the Chavos Avodah will now give 10 ways in which a Baal Bitochon could feel, should feel, and is more secure than this counterfeiter. 10 problems the counterfeiter faces that a true Baal Bitochon does not face. So he says, more secure and you're less worried than the Baal HaKimia, which is the alchemist, that knows how to turn metals into gold. He knows how to do it. He knows the concept behind it, and he knows how to do it actually. And if you rely on Hashem for your needs, Harei Oz Yadof Olav, you are better than the alchemist Ba'asar Dvarim. What's Wonder Bread? Wonder Bread is 13 ways. Nobody here know. I'm so old. Nobody knows about Wonder Bread. How many ways is Wonder Bread better than other breads? 13 ways, 11 ways, 10 ways. They were better than other breads in 11 ways, I think. So here the Baal Bitachon is better than the alchemist in 10 ways. Okay, Rabbi Greenspan, I don't know if any of you know who he is, but he's a new force in the shul. He asked me to announce he's thinking, and he's one of these days he's going to get around, he wants to organize for the women a sort of Partners in Torah program, where stronger women, more learned women, more knowledgeable women will learn with weaker ones once a week in the shul. There's a snoshim for an hour, have like a Partners in Torah type program in person, one-on-one. He asked me to announce it. He's going to be working on it when he first finishes with the men, which might take a couple of years, but one of these weeks in Yitzhak Shem, very soon, he hopes to organize such a program. And he asked me to announce it here tonight, so you're the first on the block to know about it. It's an idea, but he's going to do it. So be prepared to get a phone call one of these days. Okay. Good night. Thank you.